Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives. And this radio show we bring to you to answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal subject. Even though we're injury attorneys, we'll answer any question on any legal subject. Just give us a call at 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Welcome to all of our listeners. Don't forget about our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. Our books are there, free e-books for you. You can get our auto assistance packet to put on your glove box, hold your insurance papers. All you have to do is give us a call. If you want a hard copy of any of our books, just call us right here at the station, 303-713-8255. We've got a lot to cover today. We're going to talk to Tony about a car accident. Good morning, Tony. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Hi, guys. This is Tony. My friend Joe was driving along a mountain road going about 35 miles an hour. Joe's about 70. Joe's mom was in the front seat with her seatbelt on. Joe's wife is in the back seat. She did not have her seatbelt on. Joe looked up at the mountains for a second, ran off the road, and ran into the back of a car. His wife, again, was not in her seatbelt. She broke 9 ribs, and again, she's close to 70 years old, was in the ICU for almost a week, ran up a $250,000 bill. The thing is, Joe was driving his wife's car, and so what they did is Joe tried to get coverage for his wife. He was denied, and then his wife tried to get coverage for herself as well with her car insurance company, and both of them were denied. They ended up with, I think, $5,000. They haven't signed any waivers or anything. So Joe wanted me to call to see if there's any recourse for them, guys.
Well, first of all, when you say try to get coverage, are you talking about medical bills, or you're trying to talk about coverage for the injuries?
Medical side, Brad. Yeah, it was the amount is like $300,000 or $400,000.
Okay.
Hey, Tony, a lot of this is going to be what we call a policy specific. We're going to want to see the policy, so we'll want to get that. But traditionally and normally, here's the situation. When you've got a husband-wife policy, or when you've got a husband-wife car, and though the car is owned by one person, but the husband and wife are living together, they're in the household together, and they're joint assets. Traditionally, the insurance company is not going to insure one spouse against the negligence of another. So what they say is they say that their policy has provisions in it that does not require them to have to pay for those kind of damages. Now, it is kind of interesting because you're indicating to me that there could be completely separate policies, and you're indicating to me there could be completely separate ownership of the cars.
And, correct.
And if that's true, then we may be able to find a loophole in the policy, but we're going to have to see the policy. But generally, what you're going to get from any auto insurance company is they're going to say, first of all, that if it's a spouse, we don't have to cover the negligence from the injury from the other spouse, because our policies specifically exclude that. And then the second thing, then they start saying, well, wait a minute, if you're a resident of the house and not necessarily a spouse, but you're a resident of the house, then the policy doesn't cover injuries to resident of the house under the resident relative relationship for the negligence of another person who's living within the house. So we're going to have to see it, but that does not stop, in my mind, the fact that MedPay ought to be paying everything, ought to be paying the bills.
I see.
So, Tony, in my take, and Brad's exactly right, there's an open question, and the policy language is probably going to drive it home. But open question whether or not a spouse can sue another one for their injuries from the car accident. But there is no question, in my mind, that, as Brad just said, MedPay can pay. But the problem is MedPay is usually only about $5,000. You can buy higher, but usually the statutory default is $5,000.
But when you said the bills were $2,000 to $3,000, Tony, I think...
No, it was more than that.
Oh,
$250,000.
It was closer to $300,000 to $400,000.
$300,000 to $400,000?
Yeah, $300,000 to $400,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. I must have been in left field at that time. when you were saying
that. Yeah, and the only amount of coverage that they received so far is a check for like $5,000. So maybe that's the limit that they had on their MedPay.
Right, but you know, I would strongly encourage if you can get Joe to get us the policy and get it into our office, because there are some things that made me question whether or not the insurance company can exercise those provisions. It's like I said, the things that make me question it the most is the fact that it sounds like there was separate ownership and separate policies, and that may change the fact pattern that would apply to the policy language, and we might be able to do something about that.
That's great. At least it gives Joe some hope. So should I just have Joe contact you guys next week?
Well, let's have you hold, and we'll have Kevin get your name and number in, and if you want to give us Joe's, if not, have Joe calls, but let's have Kevin give you the information. Obviously, you can call us. Do you have a pen handy, Tony?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Our office number is 303-795-5900, and, we'll get some information from you off the air, and we'll make sure we take care of Joe. Okay.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate
All right.
it.
Thank
All
you.
Right, I'm going to put you on hold and give Kevin your information. Thanks, Tony.
You bet.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can email us. You can ask us any question. Don't forget about our books. One book, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, Once in the Accident and Again on the Insurance Claim. Information loaded. All the myths are covered about car accidents there. Okay, Brad, we had a lot of interesting material to cover. We've had questions concerning accidents. We've had emails concerning insurance policies, and I think you've got a new subject.
Sure. Last week I was doing the show with Bob Leonard, and we had somebody call in concerning actions taken by the Greeley Police Department where they're sedating people, or where they've used medication to sedate or subdue people in order to apprehend them or otherwise deal with them. They asked me what we thought about it and whether or not it was appropriate. Not only did I do some research on it, and I do want to tell everybody that, and people who want to know more about it, there is a published United States Court of Appeals 10th Circuit case of Whitner versus Banner Health, where the Northern Colorado Medical Center did administer on a 72-hour hold Haldol to a person that ended up in their death. It talked about whether or not the police department or anybody else could be held responsible. The Court of Appeals found that they were not held responsible, mainly because it was on a 72-hour hold. I did also contact the Greeley Police Department to discuss what was going on. So
we're going to get to that after the break. We got a break coming up. So it's an interesting, fascinating legal question. Can police administer drugs? Under what circumstances? You know, what if you have an adverse reaction? What if you die? What if you get sick? What if it's contraindicated for you and your particular medical condition or conditions? So it's an interesting topic. We need to give it some thought there. But you know what? Think about consequences. Think about maybe infection. Think about collateral issues. Think about just blindly giving a drug. Think about from the police standpoint, if they've got somebody that may be uncontrollable, they have to do something. And so the law in this area is absolutely fascinating. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Legal Show. We are injury attorneys in our day lives. Our radio lives are right here for you. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. Listen to all of our podcasts and our audio casts and our video podcasts on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Join us now live is Paul from Greeley. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go right ahead.
I've got 10 grandkids, and they're all starting to get their learner's permit. And I've been taking a couple of them out and because they got to get so many hours in. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, where is my liability in this? You know, I have to make sure that each of their parents have some insurance on those kids.
Well, first of all, the initial threshold, this is how lawyers think right here. The initial threshold is, let's focus on the teen, let's focus on the child a second. Do they have legal authority to be driving the car, number one? I mean, and so if somebody has a permit, then you're probably across that threshold and you're probably okay there, as opposed to just giving somebody, here, just drive this. I know you're underage, just go ahead. Clearly, in that situation, you're liable. But now you're talking about a permit, right?
Yes, sir. I'm with them all the time, you know, and up here in Greeley, we got a lot of dirt roads, so they're doing the dirt road thing, and then I take them into a parking lot on Sundays, a medical facility offices that are not open, and I teach them how to, you know, do the 10 and 2 and feed the steering wheel by just going around and around the parking lot in both directions. But I, listening to you guys, and I thought, ooh, you know, what is, what's old grandpa's liability? The one granddaughter, her mother has passed away, and her dad's an engineer on the railroad. So I told him I'd help him out because he can't, you know, always be in town to be with her, to help her.
Okay, here's what you're going to look at so you get an idea. Okay, first of all, you know, and I say this because I know you're not doing it for, but for anybody out there, this is a different, there's a whole different set of rules if you're doing it for money, if you're being paid by anybody to teach somebody how to drive. Everybody stop looking at their policies then, because they're going to need a completely different policy. But as far as you for the insurance, first of all, the question is whether or not you have insurance on your car and on you yourself for allowing somebody to drive this way. And that's going to be, once again, it could be policy specific, but it also is something where it's important that you get a hold of your agent.
Okay.
And talk to your agent, and tell your agent that you are taking these kids out to drive. You're doing everything legal. They got the permits. It's fine for you to do it. You're allowed to do it. You're a proper age. They're a proper age. You're doing it correctly. But you need to get a hold of your insurance agent and make sure that they have got that included within the specific policy that you've got, because it does not sound like when the agent wrote your policy, you told the agent, which you wouldn't have, that you had young drivers, teenage drivers in your household.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that policy for 20 years, and I've, listening to you guys, I've, you know, got the uninsured and the underinsured up, and then put a $1 million umbrella rider, and, you know, for, I mean, I just...
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, for doing that, the UIM, I can't tell you how important that is. Congratulations, you get the Bell and Pollack attaboy.
And okay. And what you want to do now, and I'm glad you've done that, give your agent a call and say, listen, I have my grandkids from time to time. I take them out and I that under the learner's permit, and I let them drive the car, and I'm teaching them how to drive it. And here's what we do. And I want to make sure I'm covered not only for my car in case they wreck it or they run into a pole out there or they run it off the road or run it into a fence or whatever. The second thing is I want to make sure I'm covered for my own injuries in case I get hurt, if they slam on the brakes or, you know, or something happens and all of a sudden we get hurt. I want to make sure they're covered, that they don't have any, that they're covered. And I want to make sure that anybody they run into or that runs into them is covered.
Yeah. I'll give them a call on Monday and see what they have to say.
Well, you've got a fascinating question, Paul. So let's just take it a little bit further in the legal analysis. As long as you ask the question, everybody can learn today. So let's take an extreme example, okay? When can the parent or grandparent, when they can be responsible for the teen driving, let's say they have a license or a permit and you let them drive the car and you're not with them, okay? So then there's the doctrine of negligent entrustment. So the extreme on that is you're at a party, you give your keys to a driver, could be a teen, could be anybody else, and you know darn well they're drunk, And so they're going to go drive. That's the extreme example. And then you're going to be held responsible under the negligent entrustment doctrine, period. Now, we back it up a little bit, not such an extreme example. You give your keys to the teenager, go run the store, go run down to the store and get this. They're not drunk or anything. So do they have a bad driving habit? Do they have medical conditions? And so that's another part of the analysis. So that's a little bit less extreme example. And so that's how the analysis goes. You shouldn't give your keys. You shouldn't supervise somebody when you know that they can't drive or they have a condition. Or and in your situation, there's probably no medical condition. So they have a permit to drive. Are you giving them active lessons when you drive? If you are, that's probably pushing it towards the liability side. Is that what you do or not?
Yeah, I do. I they're like the one granddaughter a couple weeks ago, that was the first time she got behind the wheel, and we went into the parking lot and we just started driving around, and a car was on the other end of the parking lot, and she gets a little upset. And I says, don't worry about it. I says, they're not going to come up here and start playing chicken with you.
Well, right. And let's default basically like a computer. We default to the basic legal doctrine that when a person, you, sir, when you give your keys to a person to drive your car, you're doing it with permission and consent. Therefore, usually, not always, the insurance, you have the insurance that covers that situation because they're driving your car with permission and consent. As opposed to another example, somebody steals your car and they have a horrible accident. You're not responsible for that, and your insurance company's not going to be responsible because they didn't have it with permission and consent. So you're into a grayer area, but it leans more, in my opinion, towards you if something goes wrong, yes, being liable. And then the question is, as Brad hits the nail right on the head, does your insurance coverage cover it?
Now, if their dad has insurance or put those grandkids on his policy, which would the liability go to his policy or my policy if they, like you said, they hit somebody or something?
I think the first place it's going to go to is your policy. I think the insurance is going to cover your policy to begin with, and they're going to go to you. Now, the we've got insurance that follows the car, and so the car owner's insurance policy is going to be looked at, and that's first place. But what's going to normally happen, so you know, is it let's say you're out there on the road and the kid goes across the lane and hits somebody. When the personal injury lawyers come in to sue, they're going to ask for insurance, and they're going to get the child's insurance first. What they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, here's the child's insurance, and they're going to proceed against that. And if the insurance company doesn't do anything, they're gonna let that go. What's gonna happen internally is the child's insurance and your insurance companies are both gonna meet and talk, and they're gonna talk about who has priority and who's the primary insurer and who's not the primary insurer. And I think at that point, I think at that point both policies are gonna be something that can be. That will be responsible for paying, and they're going to fight out over who's the primary. And that one of the questions they're going to ask is, when the person was driving, were they doing it under your direction and control? And if your direction and control was telling them to do what they did, then they're going to come back on your car.
Okay.
So I strongly recommend, and I think it sounds like you do, that for each one of your grandchildren, the parent of that grandchild make sure that grandchild or that their child is covered under a policy, whether it be under the family policy or if it is under the child is named under his own policy. Technically speaking, if you have that child in your car and you're teaching that child to drive and there is no other policy, your policy is going to step in and probably cover it, as long as you've let your agent know and they're on proper notice that you do this and your agent says it's okay.
So the general rule, Paul, would be the fact that the more that you, and you naturally would, the more that you participate, the more you control, the more you give directions, the more you give advice while you're driving, the more it's going to impose liability upon you. So you got to make sure that's a safe situation, maybe like the parking lot. But if liability is going to be imposed upon you, you must then have the insurance coverage. You don't want to get a letter or any communication from the insurance company that says, well, guess what? under paragraph 12F on page 14. You didn't read that. And so that's excluded. They love the word exclusion. That's excluded. And so when you do this, make sure you do it by email or written request so that you have it in writing that it is covered.
Well, I can just about promise you, Paul, that your insurance company will try to not pay on any injury or accident right now.
Okay.
They'll say that this is not a risk that they understood or they intended. Your household didn't include teenagers. They had no reason to believe you were teaching anybody how to drive. The teenagers were driving it, and that you were doing this planned activity.
So just get it from them in writing, Paul. And everybody take a lesson this morning from Paul's call on UIM and UM coverage. Raise it as high as you can. He got an umbrella policy. Thank you for the call. All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. Welcome to all of our listeners. North, south, east, west. We're here for you. We'll be right back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We got offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado. We are injury lawyers, but for this show, we are here to answer your questions on any legal subject. We do it every week. We love your calls. We're gonna talk to Eric from Caitlin's right now. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. What's cooking?
Good. I got a couple new specials we're going to start off with. The breakfast special. It's a 2-egg plate. That's going to come with a bone-in grilled pork chop, something we haven't done before. You can get those eggs cooked to the temperature of your choice. That comes with our hash browns. You get your choice of toast, flour tortilla, or pancakes on the side. I highly recommend the pancakes, just so you know. And our lunch special is going to be what we're calling a Southwestern salad. It comes on romaine lettuce. You get your choice of pinto or black beans. Gets bell peppers, diced tomatoes, kerneled corn, sliced avocado, and we're trying out a new dressing. I got a cilantro lime vinaigrette. Really, really tangy, really, really good. We're going to use that for our lunch special. And don't forget, as always, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And yes, the umbrellas are up. And yes, the bottomless mimosas are only $10. So if that's not enough to get you down, I don't know what it is. We're going to have a great weekend. Have a good turnout and have a good time down at Caitlin's.
Eric.
Yes.
I was on your deck yesterday. That thing's fantastic right now.
Absolutely. This is the best time of year. It really, really is. It's the best seat in the house to be out there right now.
Weather's perfect. It's nice to sit out there.
Absolutely. Definitely is.
Nice green grass, flowers, or trees, everything around it. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. It'll be full today. I guarantee it.
Okay. Eric, the other thing is real quick. I delayed you last week getting on the phone. You didn't burn anybody's eggs, did you?
No.
Okay, good.
I had a helper, so we kept it good.
I was worried about that. I had to interrupt the call to get you on because you know, I know that you're cooking at the same time you're talking to us. So.
Oh, you know it. I'm all over the place.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
You bet. Thanks,
where are you located, hey?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, all right. Eric. Eric at Caitlin's, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. Join us live is Don from Morrison. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning again, gentlemen. I get up and listen to your show on Saturday mornings to learn, and I'm learning again.
Rock and roll. Thank you.
What can we do for you, buddy?
Well, I got three things, so I'll try to zip through them fast. One was your fascination about the husband and wife exclusion of responsibility. And that example where the lady unbelted in the back seat, would she then look to her own health insurance? Is the idea on that, since they're not going to be paying for those medical bills?
Yeah, that's going to be the first place you should look, is to the health insurance. And, of course, the health insurance is going to do subrogation, and that's a whole new area that everybody listen before you pay those subrogation bills, contact us. But, yes, the first place she needs to go is to, you know, in her age, she's probably got something going on with Medicare. They're, you know, at 70, you probably have Medicare eligible, but she's going to have her own health insurance or the Medicare.
Okay, well, and then I just was like, wow, you mean my family's not covered in my own car if I run into a tree and my family members get injured? because of my driver's negligence. Is that what I'm understanding correctly?
Most insurance policies will have both a spousal exception, and that may also, not all of them do, but they may also have a family exception, which says that the insurance is not going to cover injuries to your spouse, and sometimes even to your other family members, your children and to other family members. Now, that you know, for your negligence while you're driving the vehicle. And that takes getting talking to the insurance company and getting special endorsements to address that issue. But, yeah, you're right.
What confidence level should a person have? Sometimes I'll call my agent, ask them a question. I'm like, yeah, but am I supposed to rely on the fact that they said such and such, because it, like, off the cuff, oh yeah, no, this is no problem, or this is that, and that's the other. And I'm like, really? Where would I go look and read to make sure? I don't want to, you know, question their integrity and they call them a liar or anything. You know, I just, like, wow, where do you go back up what you've been told?
Well, I'll tell you what I do, and you should do it too, when you talk to your insurance company, so, and you ask these questions, and it's all verbal, and I can't tell you how, over the years, how many times we've asked these insurance company representatives in a deposition, well, did you say this? No, I didn't. Did you say that? No, I didn't. This, that. So, you just put it in an email. Email's easy these days. Get it confirmed in writing. It doesn't have to be a nasty email. It can be a nice, polite email. Listen, I got a question on my insurance coverage and insurance policy. You say this isn't covered. XYZ isn't covered. So, could you please give me the paragraph or the language that you're relying on to say it is covered or isn't covered? Because that's the bottom line question. And that is always what they go to, the exclusions. And if you want a general overall hint, you first look at your policy, which is just, you know, it's mind-numbing to try to read one. Mm-hmm. But look at the word exclusions. Go to the section that says exclusions, because that's what they drive to. That's what they default to, like a computer. You put in a claim where the insurance company is excluded. You know, like in years ago, Hurricane Katrina, water damage was excluded. Well, you know, you say it was wind damage. Well, we don't, you know, wind damage is not covered. Water damage is covered. Which one is it? So the exclusion part, exclusion, I couldn't emphasize this enough.
And Don, I have a practice, you know, and I know that sometimes people buy their insurance on the computer now and through the net. And that's still, you need to get a live person. But, you know, another practice you can do, and I have one, is I call my agent and ask this question or that question. If they say, yes, it's covered, like Gary said, I'll send them a quick email or a note just saying, thanks for talking to me. I really appreciate it. I want to confirm that I understand that this is the factual pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If it's different, or this is the coverage I have, if it's different, please let me know so I can address the insurance issue, or so I can get an extra coverage for that. And say, I want this coverage, because it's pretty much been determined that there's potential agent liability for not giving you the coverage that you've asked for or that you want, if in fact you can prove that you let the agent know you wanted it.
I see.
And so
this, if I might, playing back into your MedPay recommendations you always preach, then if you have a high medical deductible in your own family for health insurance covers, that's why you'd want more than the $5,000 minimum to a MedPay, because it's, say, $10,000 or $25,000, whatever you could afford, would then step in right away and cover your deductible if you had a $300,000 bill as the first dollars out.
Absolutely. It's so important, because that's exactly it. You know, most people, if you look, if they belong to HSAs and those type of policies, they're sitting with $10,000-$15,000 deductibles before they ever start having their insurance kick in. Well, you know, we've talked before that the most dangerous thing you do in any given day, believe it or not, is drive, being in a car.
Which leads me to my next question. My daughter's got a part-time job delivering food for a restaurant firm. And it just occurred to me this morning that, oh, my God, I might not be properly insured. We have a household policy where I own the vehicle. I'm lending it to her. She's 21. If she clobbers somebody, do I need to have a commercial policy for that situation?
Yeah, either you do or the restaurant does. So one of the two should get it. And the restaurant probably had her sign some papers that said that she was responsible for her own insurance. Now, you know, that when we start talking about these pizza delivery places, you know, and we've talked about, Gary and I have done cases against the pizza delivery places for being responsible to make sure the insurance is actually there. But You need to, if your daughter's doing that part-time job and is doing delivery, that's commercial purpose. You need to call your agent. And once again, tell the agent what's going on. Say, do I have coverage? If the agent says no, say how much to get the coverage. Get the coverage. And then what you want to do is follow up with a letter saying, this confirms that I've told you my daughter's doing part-time work. She's doing deliveries. She's using my car. And now I have full coverage.
Okay. And let's go. Everybody go to school. Pull up your desk right now. Get your legal coffee because you got some great questions. Let's just cover another corollary to your question. So you've got the situation where somebody drives. You got to basically divide it in your mind initially to, is this a no-fault situation or a fault situation? A no-fault situation would be your med pay. They got to pay your medical bills regardless of fault. You might be completely at fault. They have to pay your medical bills. So that's the first dividing line. And you've got to analyze it this way and go through that whole analysis there.
But Don, you absolutely have to call your agent and tell him about your daughter. Okay. That one worries me. I might lose a little sleep over tonight.
One more thing before we go to break, Don. Everybody pay attention to this. They are going to look for exclusions, the insurance companies, but when you say commercial enterprise, commercial work, that's their easy way out. Meaning, somebody does mechanic work out of their garage, and they drive their truck to go down and get the part. If the insurance company finds that's a business, they're charging money for doing mechanical work in your garage, or you just work out of your garage, or you do anything similar, that's a commercial enterprise. We don't insure you in a commercial situation. This was only a private liability insurance. So sorry. Goodbye. So make sure they understand that this is what they're doing, as Brad just said. This is what your daughter or relative is doing. This is commercial. They're in business and part-time. Therefore, they've got to cover it once you told them.
Well, I've had three things. Lastly, my kid, the other one's 19, soon 20, hasn't learned to drive yet. Do I need a learner's permit to put him behind the wheel?
You're going to have to go down and coach him, teach him.
Yeah,
you're going to have to go down and get him. The insurance or the motor vehicle division is going to have to give him a permit to start getting behind the wheel.
Even on my private property, I hadn't thought about it.
You got to have the permit, and you've got to have the coverage, insurance coverage.
Now, private property might be a different question, but then you're going to have insurance problems with that, because if he's driving without a license, you're teaching him, and he doesn't have at least a permit or a license to allow him to learn how to drive, your insurance company probably isn't going to cover.
So the bottom line is full disclosure to the insurance company in writing. Thanks for the call, Don.
You bet. Appreciate it, guys.
Take them down.
All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. Our telephone number, 303-713-8255. We're always here for you. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys here for you to answer your questions on any legal subject. If you want a free accident assistance packet to put into your glove box, hold your insurance papers and registrations, just call Kevin right here at the studio, or just email us or call our law firm. We'll send you one for free. If you want any of our books, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download the ebooks for free. If you want a hard copy for free, all you have to do is call us right here and we'll take care of it for you. Okay, so right now we're going to talk to Donna from Fort Collins. Donna, thank you for holding for so long. What can we do for you?
Oh, you're welcome. I got a letter from my insurance company after my grandson had an accident, and they, without talking to me, changed my deductible from $500 to $1,000 and said that they are keeping the option open to surcharge. In addition, can they do that?
Okay. You had the policy.
Right.
And how did they go in and change it?
Well, they wrote me a letter after an accident that my grandson had on one of the vehicles, and they just wrote me a letter and said that he's excluded now from driving any of my vehicles, and they are raising the deductible to $1,000 with the option of a surcharge in addition to $1,000.
Okay. for everybody to understand, policies are very policy specific. We've been giving advice all morning about what policies are and what you can do and what you can't do and whether or not you can recover for suing your spouse and everything else. And I want everybody to remember, we've talked about that it's policy specific language. We need to be able to see the policies. A policy, an insurance policy, is a contract between you and the insurance company where you determine whether or not the basis of the policy is something that you want to buy, and they determine whether they want to extend you coverage. There are certain legal requirements that insurance has to provide, like $25,000 minimum coverage has to be there in our state. What they've done with you is probably something they can do. And so, that, go ahead.
Oh, did you say they can do or they cannot do?
They can. Now, if they've done it in the middle of the policy period, once again, I would question whether they could do it in the middle of the policy period. For instance, if you bought the policy for a 6 months or for a year, if you paid the premium, then I'm not so sure they can do that. And once again, looking at the policy, unless they have a provision in there saying they have the right to modify the coverage at any given time for an additional risk, then I'd say they can't do it in the middle of the policy. They have to give you fair enough notice of any changes they want to make to the policy such that you have time to go shop other insurance and change the insurance.
Well, my take on the whole situation is the fact that, everybody I think has seen these television commercials, and this is not a commercial for those TV commercials, but the people with the Statue of Liberty in the background, obviously I won't use the insurance company's name, but they always say the same thing. I had an accident and accident forgiveness. Now a lot of insurance companies have accident forgiveness, but you pay an extra premium at the beginning all the way through to get the accident forgiveness situation. And so then they don't raise your rates. But one more time, this is very policy specific. If you want us to look at your policy, we'll be glad to do that. It's driven by the language because they always say in page 21, paragraph 3F, it says, and also under exclusions and under reservation of rights. It's a complicated legal document. Bottom line is, you don't have to be a lawyer to read these. What you need to do is understand full disclosure to the insurance company. And if you have a question, it's okay to call them, but you should email them and get an answer. And if they give you a vague, ambiguous answer like, well, it's in the policy, that's not good enough. They're supposed to give you an answer. Please, sir or ma'am, tell me under what policy provision and the specific paragraph and sentence that I can use that you're relying on to say this isn't covered or it is covered. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I guess what I'd say is that under normal circumstances, if the insurance company already knew you had somebody, a minor in your household that would be driving your car, then normally they're going to put something on the policy as far as who named insureds are, or at least who's excluded within the household. And if they're not excluded, they're deemed to be covered normally. So, if you've got insurance and you get it on yourself, your husband's in the household, they know it, it's been properly identified in the application, or you have children of driving age and it's properly identified, and they don't exclude them, then they're going to be covered. Can they at some point say, we're not going to renew the policy without excluding them? Yes, they can, because that's their contract right. Or say we're going to charge more. But once again, as I said, I have questions if they can do the mid policy. But if they give you notice that that's the way it's going to be on renewal, I think they can do that and say, here's the additional charge.
Right.
So if you'd like us to look at your policy to confirm they can pull this little trick they're pulling on you, we're happy to do that.
The general rule for everybody listening is full disclosure to the insurance company in writing. I've got a niece, I've got a child, I've got a grandchild, they're driving, they got a permit. Is that covered? And put it in an email and get your answer back. That's the bottom line.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to take all your calls in the order in which they've come. So right now we're going to talk to Phil from Denver. Good morning, Phil. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, I had my son 2 weeks ago get rear-ended by a car, basically totaled his car. And so what I'm trying to do is recoup the money that I had put into this car. I just got finished putting a new engine, new clutch, and some other odds and ends, tires and stuff like that. And I'm just trying to recoup the money, and I don't feel like what they're giving me is you know, what I put into the car. So I'm just trying to figure out what's my best option to try to get my money back.
Okay, so the person rear-ended the car, is their insurance company is responsible. They're liable. There's a presumed liability, et cetera. Okay, so now we're going to get to the value of your car, and they want to default to whatever the blue book value, the internet value, without taking into consideration anything that you did to the car. The law is this. They're supposed to put you in the same position you were before the accident. And it's a fight, but they're supposed to do it. And I remember a case from about 20 years ago, part of an injury case. The gentleman said that he had souped up, in his term, souped up this car. It had this engine, that engine. It had special this, special that, knew this, knew that. And finally, I mean, they said the blue book value of the car was 11 grand. Finally, we recovered 31,000 for the car. It can be done. It's a fight. That's the law.
Was anybody hurt in the accident?
No, just a minor, just head banging, and then, you know, just a little bit of headache and just some shoulder issues, but nothing like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to want to talk to you off the air about certain things, because you're going to have to get comparables, and you're going to have to show the money you put into the car, and you're going to have to show receipts. You're going to have to get documents, and I can help you put together the package you want to give to the insurance company and make them pay you more.
Okay, yeah, I have all that kind of stuff too. So,
and in the last analysis, if they don't do it, I'm going to show you how to do a small claims court action to cause the insurance company to get real about the fact that they're not paying you the fair amount of the value of your car.
Hey, Phil, I'm going to put you on hold. If you give Kevin your information, we'll be glad to help you.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're sorry we couldn't get to all of your calls. Well, if you called in, you want to leave Kevin your name and number, we'll call you off the air during this week and take care of your issue and your problem. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Don't forget about the real estate show coming up after ours, are real estate experts. Our website is information loaded. Also, if you want any of our free ebooks or free hard copy of our books, they're all free. One's called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And why do we do it? Because we are your champions of the people. And we will try
different things. The proceeding was a paid advertisement. The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the preceding program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.